This is A View from the Ditch, a politics show on Quarantine FM. Get in touch with us at aviewfromtheditch@gmail.com. We were lucky enough to talk to Michelle Gavin. The context, she was shop steward in the Waterford Debenhams store and has been on the picket for the last, it's over 250 days now they've been on strike. She was also involved in the occupation of the Waterford Debenhams store. They were referred to as the Dacia 5. And we spoke to her in the context of, on Tuesday night, you had these proposals from the mediator, Kevin Foley, that...
Between Debenhams workers and KPMG, the liquidator of Debenhams.
That's right. And that the proposal would be that, they obviously wouldn't get the redundancy package they've been campaigning for all along, the 2 plus 2 weeks statutory plus 2 weeks from the company, which they were promised as part of a collective agreement in 2016, but that they wouldn't get that. What they would get instead was a €3 million, and I hate this word, upskilling
fund,
which I think a lot of the workers, including our guest today, really felt was not only inadequate, but insulting.
Well, I'm really excited to hear from Michelle. Let's go for it.
So we're joined now by Michelle Gavin, formerly of the Waterford store, Debenhams, formerly Roche's Stores, who was informed in April after a 27-year service by a generic email that her job had gone. And she's the shop steward in the Waterford store. Thanks a million for joining us, Michelle.
Thanks very much for having me.
So I wonder if you could tell us about what that was like in April when you got that email, or when you found out.
Well, it was a big shock. We couldn't believe it because we had closed on the 23rd of March because of the pandemic. So we were led to believe that we would be reopening and that we were doing okay. We knew at that point that England had gone into administration, but we were told we were okay, so we went with that. And on the 9th of April, when we got that generic email, I suppose we were shocked. I think the callous way they did it was very hard for us, you know, after all the loyal service we had given. To be just sent a generic email and told, yeah, you're going into liquidation and your job is gone, and that was it. You know, so it wasn't nice, I have to be honest with you. We were shocked. It took a few weeks, I suppose, to sink in that we no longer had our jobs. And, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic, which we were trying to cope with as well. I suppose we were the first casualties of it. So, it wasn't nice at all.
No. And then if you could tell us about the beginning then of the strike, of the picket, and how that all came about.
Well, I suppose at the very beginning, when we heard, you know, the union had to be contacted, or they contacted us, being the job stewards and that. So then we had to decide what we were going to do. So that's the first ballot that was taken for to see did people want to strike. So that was unanimously accepted. You know, people out of, I think there was 800 and something people voted on that. And out of that, 97% voted for the strike. So that's where that came about. So we started manning our pickets from there. We put Roche's together. We got people that were interested, you know, anyone. Now, not everybody, unfortunately, took part, even from the word go. I found that a bit strange, I'll be honest with you, when 97% of people voted to strike and didn't really take any active part in it. It was a bit strange for me to understand, but like, people have to do what they feel is best for them. But I wasn't sure, did they understand what a strike meant then? because if you vote for a strike, that's what you're supposed to do, take part in it. So there was a group of us, yeah, we got together, and as I said, being the shop steward, I suppose I organized the rotas and that part of it so that we could, you know, we all, most people gave what they would be available to do, like, because we have our lives to live as well in all of this, you know, our lives are still going on, the same things are still happening to us, and we're still trying to cope with all the things. So it just started from there, and we just would do shifts, three people at a time, you know, throughout the day, and then that progressed into the evening. So we would be there most of the day and night, you know what I mean? I suppose the stock was our asset, that's what we were trying to protect,
Yeah.
and so that's why we decided to, you know.
And so, of course, the background to that was that there was this 2016 collective agreement where you were entitled to 2 weeks per year of service on top of the statutory 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, the liquidator KPMG is saying that no longer applies.
Well, that was said there by the mediator that that no longer applies. I find that very strange, but that's what was negotiated. That was our negotiated package at that time when we came out of that examinership. So anybody that, you know, was made redundant after that, they would get that package. That's what we felt, and that's what we felt we were entitled to. You know, for 20 years, 27 years service, I felt I deserved that. Did you know
Absolutely.
what I mean?
When did it become apparent that that agreement wasn't going to be honoured?
Well, on Tuesday night. Yeah,
Of course, but I mean, say, earlier on, that was what the liquidators were kind of saying it, weren't they?
no, the liquidators didn't say that it wouldn't. What they were saying is they were liquidators and they had to liquidate the company. Do you know, and they have to do that within the law, and the law didn't allow for enhanced packages, as they put it. So
I see.
that's where their perspective was coming from. It wasn't that they were saying, you know what I mean, that it wasn't to be recognised or whatever, but they can't pay it because they have to act within the law.
I
So
see.
that's what they, yeah, and that's where that came from the liquidator.
I see, yes. And if you could tell us as well, there was an actual occupation of the store down in Waterford that you were involved in. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I suppose it was in, I think it was, I can't remember how long ago, it was around September, I think we did it. I just felt we needed, you know, to push the focus. You know, we've been there quite a while, and just keep things in focus for the media and for everyone, you know, that we were still there, we were still struggling, we were still standing up for ourselves, we were still fighting for our rights. So we felt it would help. So we decided if an opportunity came about, we would take it, and that's what we did. So that was it. We entered the store on that Monday morning, and we stayed there till Friday. So the five of us, the Dacia Five, as we're known.
Yeah. And had you ever been involved in anything like that before?
Never. I like as I said, I was long service. We were very lucky, I suppose, and I suppose I never kind of thought about it, but like I worked there for 27 years. I was never in a position where we were even ever were on strike before. Do you know what I mean? So we were lucky, like we all had secure permanent jobs as we thought. And so never had the need to be involved in anything. You know, I've never had to even ever picket before, you know, or stand outside on a strike. It was never necessary. We were always able to work out and negotiate what we needed to do when things were changing, I suppose, over the years, you know what I mean? So, no, I never had the need to, I suppose.
Right, so the last 9 months have been a very different experience then.
Yeah, totally different, you know what I mean? Up to March, I had a permanent full-time job, and then on the 9th of April, my life as I knew it changed completely, you know. Yeah, it was like when you're working for a company between Rogers and Debenhams for that length of time, your whole life it revolves around it. Like you're working full time and that is your life. Do you know what I mean? To a degree. Like we have our bits at home and our bits outside, but it does make up a large part of your life. So yeah, that was very difficult, you know what I mean? It just changed your life overnight, really. The positives, I suppose, for us, we've come together as a great little team, those that are there, you know, and we are a great bunch of people, I think. We become very tight and you know, we're there for each other, and it's great to have that, you know. So also the people, the public, you know, the support they give you and the solidarity they show you, like, that's brilliant as well, you know. And also even a lot of former workers, like, you know, we have a lot of the old glass factory people because they went through this going back some time ago, you know. They had that big issue when their place closed and their pensions, they had all this. And they're great to come along and give you support. And a lot of the other unions, you know, we've had all of that. So that's fantastic. Like, it really does boost your morale, you know, because sometimes you're there because it's going on so long, you say to yourself, God, what am I doing to myself? You know what I mean? But it does boost your morale, I have to be honest with you. And where we are, we're at the back of our store, like where the loading bay is. So it's kind of just a small little street, but opposite that, there's a home for older people, and they're fantastic. Like, they give us some boost, you know what I mean? And they're all older, and they would have been around times where there would have been maybe plenty of strikes, do you know what I mean? And they believe, like, you stand up for yourself, and they tell you how proud they are, you know, and they chat to us every day, and all of those things are very positive, and it's lovely, you know what I mean? They're great, even if when we've been there in the evening time, they let you go in to go to the toilet and things like that. Do you know what I mean? So people are fantastic in that regard. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe this is the first time in a long time, a strike of this magnitude has happened. So I suppose you get a lot of people behind you, you know, for that, because people do feel you have to stand up for yourself. You know what I mean? And they can see us doing this. So I think that boosts people, you know. I think the negative part is it's the fact that we're there so long, and you wonder, like, is it ever going to end? You know, you're hopeful that we would have achieved something. And I suppose Tuesday was the lowest point for us when kind of the government made it very clear that they weren't willing and they weren't on our side, even though we had been told on numerous times that they were.
So if I could just ask you about that, obviously Tuesday night news came out that the mediator Kevin Foley had recommended no additional redundancy on top of the statutory minimum, but instead this 3 million training fund. How did you and your colleagues react when you heard about that?
Well, I was just shocked, to be honest with you. I kind of felt I had listened to the exchange between Mick Barry and Micheál Martin earlier that day. And just the way Micheál Martin spoke back to me, to Mick Barry, I kind of knew. Do you know, I kind of got an impression that they're not going to do anything for us. Do you know, here we are having a meeting this evening. And so I actually was shocked. And to be honest with you, more than shocked, just disgusted, to be honest. I was actually disgusted. You know, the government appointed a mediator and asked him to try and broker a deal between three sections. That was us, that was the liquidator, and it was the government. And then, in my opinion, took every power away from him and gave him no option. They didn't give him the support he needed. You know, Kevin Foley did the best he could do under the circumstances with what he was given. But it was the government, quite clearly, were the ones who were not willing to come on board, so to speak. So I have to say, I feel extremely left down by my government at this point in time. And I feel they're the only ones that have left us down, apart from Debenhams. I feel they left us down as badly as Debenhams did. You know, to offer us 3 million to upskill for career breaks or to career guidance or whatever is an insult to me. I'm 27 years working. I am skilled. I don't need to upskill. And that's not being smart or anything. I am a skilled worker. Over the years working, we had to adapt and change many times, and I did that. I went off when we started becoming computerized in our business, and I did my ECDL courses and I did my Sage account courses and I did loads of other courses. You know, we are a very skilled workforce. So to be given a 3 million fund to ask Teddy to upskill, you know what I mean? I feel that's so insulting. It's actually unbelievable. You know, it's just unbelievable. And I firmly believe that there was a way to do it, only the willingness wasn't there. And that's just my belief. You know what I mean? Every problem has a solution if you're willing to find it. And that's what we asked him. I was on a WebEx meeting with Micheál Martin going back some time ago, and we asked him, and he told us the willingness was there, but they had confines. We understood that, and it wasn't an easy thing to do, but they were willing to look. So I don't feel they were. You know, if you want to find a solution, you can. And there's many ways you can do it. I understand about their precedent, you know what I mean, but that could have been looked at, you know what I mean? They can ring fence many things when it suits them. They can push things through when it suits them. You know what I mean? So that's all we asked for.
Mm. Yeah, and of course, yes, the government are saying, I mean, Micheál Martin just the other day, he said that they've done everything in their power, that they're the only ones who've stepped up and paid the statutory redundancy. And there was, as you mentioned, the exchange with Mick Barry, you know, he and other government ministers have sort of attacked TDs like Barry, who've been very supportive of the workers, as if they were kind of, you know, leading the workers up the garden path, which sort of struck me as a bit of a strange argument, kind of condescending to you in, you know, yeah. That it's sort of denying your own agency in demanding what you're entitled to.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I feel the only people led us up the garden path were the government. Do you know what I mean? I just, like, we had great support from the likes of Mick Barry and other TDs, and I think they've been champion. So if they want to attack them, fair enough. But I think it's Micheál Martin led us up the garden path, nobody else. Leo Varadkar as well had a go off Mick Barry, saying that we should really listen to our union and not to others, you know. But maybe he should have listened to our union. We had many meetings with him. The union put our case to Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin, but they didn't listen to our union. So I don't know what he's on about, to be honest with you, you know. So I think that's just rude and disrespectful of us, you know, to be honest with you.
Mm. Yes, I think a lot of people would agree. And so what happens next, I wonder? You've got these proposals from Kevin Foley. There has to be a ballot of workers on those now, doesn't there?
There does, yeah. There does, yeah. They've started the process of that, but, you know, that'll have to be a postal vote because of the pandemic we're still in. And so that will take place over the next few weeks. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. But I couldn't see how a 3 million fund that's set aside for people that already have availed of training, because all that training is there. You know, it's there for people that have been made unemployed. A lot of the staff have already availed of it. You know, I even availed of a couple of courses myself at the beginning. So that training is there if you want it. Do you know what I mean? To avail of it. So to set aside a 3 million fund for that is already there. I said, it actually, I just feel total disbelief in it. Like, I don't understand the logic behind it, to be honest. Also, a lot of us are older, you know, and might necessarily want to upskill. And certainly don't need career guidance. You know what I mean? Might even want to consider start my own business. So I don't think they factored that into it either. You know, that. So I just believe, I just feel we're being offered a 3 million fund that may not even be utilised. And as well as that, we haven't even been told what way that's going to be done. So you're being asked to vote on something kind of blind, if you know what I mean. We haven't been given the breakdown of that 3 million fund. We haven't been told who can access it, what you can access it for, what way it'll work. So you're kind of voting on something when you don't even have the proper logistics of it, of what way it will actually function. So that I find strange in itself, you know?
Mm. Yes, and of course, Kevin Foley himself said that, you know, he acknowledged that the offer, you know, fell short of the core demand, which was for the 2+2, the redundancy agreement. And so in the meantime, though, the pickets are continuing.
Yeah, the pickets are continuing. Now, there is a truce there, you know, that Kevin Foley did have agreed with the liquidator. So the liquidator have given... have said that they won't go into any of the stores until the ballot takes place. So that makes it a little bit easier. So we're not doing what we were. So, and it does give people a little break coming up to Christmas. And I feel we deserve it and we need it because it's been full on since April, like, and it is hard. Because I can assure you, when we started out in April, I genuinely didn't think I'd be there in December, to be honest. You know, and so I think all of us need that for our headspace as well as anything else, you know, because as I said to you earlier, we are trying to cope with this pandemic as well as everybody else. We're also trying to cope with our normal lives. You know, we all have things that are happening in our lives that we're trying to cope with as well. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our normal living like as well. And this is trying to, you're trying to factor this in around it. You know what I mean? So I think the little break now, hopefully for Christmas, will help everybody and it'll give them a chance to refocus and see what they want to do and where, you know what I mean, how they feel. Because I think they were all very upset on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, they just couldn't believe, like I said, yeah, I think we felt just, it was an insult. We were insulted, do you know what I mean? Like if they had even said they'd set aside the 3 million and divided it out between the staff, it would have been, you know, a bit better than what had been offered in September. It would have been 2 million more. You would have said, well, fair enough, you know.
And I suppose finally, if I could ask for listeners who might want to extend their support or how would you suggest they do that?
Well, people are sort of supporting us anyway. Like, you know, they're coming along and they do give you their support. So you know, we appreciate that and they continue to do that, you know what I mean? I think sometimes you worry that when you're there so long, you know, maybe people will say, oh God, they're still there, you know, but that's not what it is. They're coming along and they do give you the support. I actually have to say that on Wednesday after it broke about the offer that the government made, a lot of the public came along and they were angry too. They were angry for us. You know, and that's great to see, you know. So, you know, that's as much as they can do is just keep giving that support for us. I would say to other workers as well, if you don't mind me saying that, you know, they need to stand up for themselves as well. They have to remember it is us now, but it could be them. And, you know, we have the situation, unfortunately, now with the Arcadia group, like they're facing into what we're facing, we faced, do you know what I mean? So like lobby your TDs, let them know you're not happy. If they could all do that, it would be great. Do you know what I mean? Because they're the ones, unfortunately, that are holding the power. So lobby them, let them know you're just not happy. And, you know, stand up for ourselves. You have to stand up for yourselves. You know, I firmly believe as well, you know, I know sometimes people might say, oh God, look, I just couldn't be bothered. I'll move on with my life and whatever. But all of what we enjoy now, if you want to put it that way, for workers' rights, was fought by somebody else prior to us. So workers' rights, that's the one thing we have achieved. It's back on the agenda. You know what I mean? We have pushed it out there that workers' rights, especially in a liquidation, it's not good enough. It's just not good enough. And that we have to fight for that and we have to stand up for ourselves. Because if you don't, nothing ever changes. So I feel even that we've achieved that much. So to try and push through and get the Duffy Cal report put through, because they should have done that 4 years ago. You know, that's where the government definitely left us down, workers in general. That should have been put through 4 years ago, and we wouldn't have ended up in the situation that we're in. So if we can even get that done in whatever way, then at least workers coming after us mightn't end up in the same situation as us, you know. And I just like to say another thing while you're talking about it is Arcadia are facing into it as well. You know, I understand that. But they were given the option to wind down their business in an orderly fashion, right? So they will be staying in work until March of next year to wind down that business, sell off the stock or whatever. You know what I mean? Now, I know they know they're going to lose their jobs and then, but they still have a chance that maybe somebody might come up and maybe offer to take it over. I know there was talks with different groups that might be interested. We weren't given that option. We were effectively locked out of our premises. That's what happened. They closed those doors and never opened them again. We were not given the option to do anything that was normal in a liquidation. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's difficult. Even Debenhams in England now going into liquidation, they were given the same option. You know, they can wind down their business orderly and whatever. We just weren't. All our stuff is still inside in those stores. We didn't get an option to clear out our lockers. We didn't get an option to take anything. We went home thinking a few weeks later when the lockdown was over, we'd be back in work. So we were technically, in my opinion, locked out of those premises. They locked us out and that's it, and walked away. And unfortunately, our government gave them that facility to do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, Michelle. And I'm sorry for all you've gone through, and we extend our solidarity.
Yeah, no, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. Look, I know in the times we're in with people, you know, with the coronavirus, it's very hard. And people have lost their lives and people have lost loved ones, and it's very difficult. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose when you look at it in those contexts, what we're going through, whilst it's hard, you know, it puts it into a small bit of perspective, but it still was a life-changing experience for us as well, do you know? So in that context, I suppose, look, it is very difficult, but, you know, life is hard sometimes, isn't it? So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you.
Okay, take care now.
Thanks again to Michelle for speaking to us. I also want to thank Suzanne Sherry and Iro O'Donnell and Natalie Nikosige for our theme music. Again, the email is aviewfromtheditch@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.